the Democrats control the agenda, so they don't have to do anything. They can gavel out if they want to gavel out. Governor could call them in. They could get here and say, thank you for calling us in, bang the gavel and say, we're gone. So he can't force us, and he can't force the majority, other through rhetoric, to do anything. So the majority controls that aspect of it. The political ramifications, I can't speak to it. I think they're extraordinarily complicated, and they move so quickly. It's hard for me to, judge where they're going to come from. So that's very difficult. Clearly, the governor has the biggest megaphone, though.
Yeah, exactly. What about, you disagree with him, I know, about the hospital cuts, and I think you guys disagree about zeroing out towns like New Canaan for educational funding in Greenwich and the wealthier communities. Are there other major divides between your plan and the governor's, and is he trying to get closer to, I'm trying to figure out what plan he's trying to get closer to, because, frankly, the Democrats' plan, he said, is wholly unrealistic.
Well, the Democrats and the governor are about $325 million apart, from what I hear in the building. That is to say, that's a huge number. The governor and us are probably about $134 million apart, for which we can reconcile. I think the governor is going to announce today in his budget that he is going to fund those towns that he cut down to zero for ECS, and that he is going to fund the hospitals. So I'm waiting to see that. If I do see that, then he's come a large step in our direction. The question that bears in my mind is, where does that money come from? And that's what I'm trying to find out. He's going to have to, I think, take from the speakers and Senator Looney's idea of car tax relief, which really was bogus anyway, and also from the this extra money they're giving towns from sales tax, which we can't make good on anyway. So he's got to be taking from that, and if that's where it is, then I'd be very intrigued, and we have to see where we go.
But I would imagine if he were that, but those Democrats, I mean, they are holding sacrosanct to the, the property tax relief, they're calling it, of course, with the car tax capping at 32 mils, and that is really important to the city of Waterbury. They're basing their budget on that.
Correct. And, Larry, you hit it right on the nose. The question is, are they going to move from that? And the answer is, I don't know, but that's where the movement's going to have to come. We were just looking at a particular town. If that town had three, if some family had three cars at $8,000 assessed value for each one of those cars, they'd save $63. That family would save a total of $63, which, if you think about the hole we're in and the devastation that's coming, is that really worth that risk? I don't know. I'm not sure it is. But, that's the savings we're talking. It's a big number. It's $104 million. But when you break it down per family, it's not that much for the deficit that we're in, the problems that we're in.
So yeah, but that's spread among only about 30 communities. I mean,
that's correct.
Does have a greater impact on certain individual communities like Waterbury, where basically we're already looking at a mill rate increase that is in some way modulated by this assumed, capping. And, lots of towns, that's the other piece to this. I saw where certain towns have said, we're not going to even try to guess what's going on under the Gold Dome, and so we're going to delay, I guess they can through their charter. I'm not certain how many have the flexibility when they're doing their budgets. I mean, what are you hearing from, town officials that you represent?
I heard a couple of things. One of which is that some towns have said, there's two parts to this SB1. One is the car tax that you're talking about. The other part is they're going to get extra money for pilot, which is property that's not taxed by statute. The state reimburses them. And the third part of it is some complicated formula, heavily weighted towards cities, and they get a little extra money. It is that part two and part three in our budget we eliminate because I don't think they're ever going to see that money. It doesn't get distributed till next spring, and the deficits we're hitting was $5.4 billion, so I don't see that money ever going anyplace. That being said, that's in there. Towns are saying with respect to part two and part three, we're not counting that at all. We believe that's never going to materialize. We're going to act like it's not materializing, and the heck with it. The car tax, some are saying, listen, we are going to include that because we got to get those car tax bills out by July 1st. We can't monkey around with this thing. We got to go forward. So I kind of get that. That's what I've been hearing from towns. So when we did our budget, we kind of left the car tax in place before the new revenue budget came out and showed a $60 million hit. We kind of left that in place. I'm not sure we can continue to leave it in place, and that's what we're looking at now.
Okay. In closing, there was another piece of legislation, very controversial, and Nancy Wyman had to break the tie. But I'm hearing from the governor that he wants to have competition among private investor groups like Fidelity and Prudential and give people options. But the way I'm reading that particular bill, unless you have one vendor who's willing to pick up a lot of the administrative costs and spread it over a period of time to get back what it is that they're going to invest to put this program together, that's not going to work. To me, in effect, what the governor is suggesting, which is almost another exchange, is not the idea here and would kill the bill.
So here's the thing. It's a bill that has mandatory requirement that everybody has to get involved in this retirement. So if you work for a company, I forget if it's 50 or 100 employees.
No, it's over five.
Over five, okay. 3% of your wage is going to be deducted from your paycheck, sent to the state, who is going to put this, is going to have one investor who's going to be in charge of a Roth IRA or an RA, depending upon your age only and your years of service and retirement capability, put you into it, sort of one size fit all. And there's an upfront cost of $150 million. And the question is, how are they going to do this? And while I agree there should be some retirement, I think it should be, you could opt out, but you're in it until you opt out. I believe you should opt in. And I also believe that the governor is that you should have a right to pick the retirement that you want. You may have money from other resources, so you could be more aggressive on where you place this to get a better return, or you may have limited funds, and therefore you want to be more conservative. That doesn't take into account, but you need to opt out. Washington, state of Washington, does it this way. We did an amendment, and they refused the amendment. What really scares me is when I see the unions really pushing this issue and be the driving force, it scares me to think, well, why are they doing it? They're unions have a pension plan. What's really going on? What am I missing? Haven't quite figured it out yet, but there's something I'm missing there. Well, number two, it should be an opt-out, not an opt-in.
Mm-hmm.
No, people should have a right to say, do it.
You mean an opt-in and not an opt-out.
Right, it should be an opt-in, not
right.
An opt-out.
Okay. Right. But the question is, if the governor really wants a lot of choice, the way I understand it, I mean, unless you get one, party that wants to absorb this, and the state supposedly is not going to absorb any of this upfront cost, then, Fidelity does not want Prudential and Vanguard products in the exchange. And to me, that would kill it.
And that's the thing. The governor, I think the governor will veto this bill unless he has that market change. But I got to tell you, they do that in Washington, they do it in New Jersey, and that's what our bill does, is give putting people in the market to compete.
Okay, well listen, I want to thank you so much for coming by. I'm sure we'll talk over the course of the week. It should be a pretty remarkable scene to watch over the next couple of days. Thank you so much, Senator Fasano, for coming by.
Thank you so much, Walter.